It's a Tuesday. That means Tom Jones joins us on a Tom Jones Tuesday. Jonesy, a good afternoon. How's your Tuesday? I didn't have a shift yesterday, so I'm confused on what day it is because the Twins were on. But, yeah, it's a Tuesday. How's the week going for you so far?
Oh, so far so good. Started out Sunday. We played some baseball in Minneapolis with our team we call the Southern Mini Lakers, and we split two very well-played games. And then last night I actually got out and did a little exercising and rode my bike around the lake for the first time in probably 10 years, and that was enjoyable. I was supposed to officiate here at 4:30, but the game in Alden just got postponed because of the heat and trying to move it into October sometime, but it won't be so hot. Good call by Jenny Savick out there, their AD, because it's pretty hot out, and boy, you'd risk the health of players, no doubt.
Mother Nature doesn't know it's September 20th, because like tomorrow it's going to be like in the 60s. And today It feels like 95. That's crazy. The Albert Lee Cross Country meet, we've been talking about that this afternoon. Still going on, just at a later time, 4:45, they're going to start things up instead of 4 this afternoon at Bancroft Bay Park. And hopefully by that time of the day and the sun starts to set a little bit, weather conditions will be a lot better. But I do understand why they would postpone football for today.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a very strenuous game, even at the junior high level. And for the cross-country runners, too, my goodness, they have to run a up-and-down path and through that park. And so, yeah, it's good that Paul Durbaugh moved that back a little bit, too. We have the sun a chance to settle down. But although usually this time of year, your hottest time of the day is between 4 and 5 o'clock. So we'll just wish them all the best out there.
They're having a cross-country meet in New Richland today at Riverview Golf Course. I'm going to head that direction. My son Isaac is running for a TCU, and I think he runs at 5:20. And he was talking about the heat. I go, if you need me to carry like 8 water bottles on the golf course for you, you just tell me what you need. I'll run around, I'll chase him, I'll make sure that he and his teammates are hydrated. Because you have to be. Whatever you're doing on a day like this, you have to make sure you're drinking plenty of fluids.
Yep, volleyball girls, they're indoors tonight over at Rochester Century, I believe it is. So not an issue for any of the volleyball teams. I think most of our schools are now air-conditioned throughout Minnesota, but yeah, a really warm day for mid to late September.
Tough matchup for the volleyball team. Century's 11-0 on the season. So that's who our Tigers get. I saw that they picked up a couple of wins at home against Lyle Pacelli and Glenville Lemons on Saturday.
Yep, I worked those games at my usual score table and in public address announcing. And we started out with Glenville Lemons. They got a nice lead on us. They were up 23, I think, to 20 or somewhere very close to that. And then we ran 5 in a row to beat them in game 1. And that seemed to take the wind out of the sail for the Wolverines, because the second game, Albert Lee, I think it was 20, 25, 16 or 17, somewhere in there. Lyle Pacelli was missing a couple of their regulars, a very young team. They actually started a 7th grader out there. Tigers didn't have any problem with them, but it was fun to watch this younger team. They're trying to compete very hard. Very young coach for Lyle Pacelli, too, and they just didn't have enough manpower there, woman power, I guess, in the case of volleyball. But it was fun to be out there on a Saturday morning, get a little extra action in for the girls.
Tom Jones on a Tom Jones Tuesday here on Kaint Radio. And a Jonesy going back to a Friday night, 22-12 loss to Red Wing for our Tigers. And we talked about this during the broadcast and on the postgame show. And for anyone that missed it, I mean, our Tigers were right there. Some turnovers in the game. I think we had 3 of them, 3 or 4 turnovers in that game. And that was the difference, because I thought we played very evenly with Red Wing. And again, if you don't turn over the football, we definitely would have had a better chance to win the homecoming game on Friday.
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of people since that game. That's my thing I've said every time is turnovers just killed us. And that's the one thing. When you're going to play football, baseball, whatever, you know, you've got to play mistake-free to win at the high school level or whatever level. And we just made too many mistakes that night, and that ended up costing us. And, you know, it was sad because you had such a monster crowd out there for homecoming, and the seats were all full. And I don't know what the outdoor eating area, I can only imagine that was probably all full. We didn't have the ability to see that the more we sit. But, yeah, it was fun to be out there. And now we go to Cass and Manorville. They have a really strong football team, and it'll be a tough slide on Friday night for the Tigers, but you know what's on the schedule? We got to play it, and I know we've got to be circling Mankato East. East is going to be another game I think we have a chance to win. We should be getting maybe a few more healthy players out there on Friday. I don't think anybody really came out of the game too bumped up the other night, so that should be a positive thing going into Friday's.
How are our neighbors to the east, Austin, doing? I know they got beat by New Prague the other night. Any idea what the record sits at?
Yeah, not really a whole lot. I'm not getting a whole lot out of there. A friend of ours had a son that scored a couple touchdowns over there, and she had a Facebook post just saying we played a really, really great game. And I know that from officiating the ninth grade game here between the two squads here earlier on, that they're low in numbers, too. I went over there and reffed a game over there, too. I think it was a junior high game. And they're, again, struggling a little bit with a number game. Soccer with Jens Levison is a big sport over in Austin in the fall. And year in, year out, they seem to be in the section finals or state playoffs. And so, yeah, but it will be a good game, possibly a chance to win against them too. We always say, Aaron, you know this, when Everly and Austin plays, throw out the records because you never know what's going to happen.
And we need a trophy game. We need a trophy game for the Packers and the Tigers. We were talking about this on Friday night. Anyone has any ideas, let me know. Because I will spin that idea to the AD, and we'll work on it. Because there's got to be a trophy between the two teams.
I used to call it the I-90 Bowl. We call it the Crosstown Rivalry, a lot of different things. But, yeah, we talked about that on my halftime show about way back in the turn of the century, of the 1900s, that they had a Albert Lee Austin Trophy. They got the winner every year, and I don't think they had a name for it other than the Albert Lee Austin Trophy. So, but yeah, I think it's a good idea. Let's come up with something.
Tiger football at Cass and Manorville on Friday. All the action here on Kaint. Cass and Manorville, like Jonesy mentioned, a very good team, defending section champions, and they got beat in the Prep Bowl. They got to the championship last year and lost to Hutchinson. Jonesy, your ball team, your baseball team did my team no favors over the weekend. No favors whatsoever. They lose 4-5 to Cleveland, and I think you can officially put a fork in the Twins.
I think so, too. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I just shake my head. I mean, yesterday I read they had 59 rostered players. That was in the Sunday Star Trip. They've had 59 rostered players. They added another one, Danny Rodriguez or somebody like that yesterday, pitcher number 60, and or player number 60, I should say. I don't know how you can expect a team to be even near 500 when you've gone through 60 players because of so many injuries.
Correct,
and now you lose Sonny Gray. He pulls his hamstring. I'm sorry, but you got to stop and look at what's going on for training. I don't know. Is it ironic that they've gone through 60 players? Is it not the conditioning? Did they not get conditioned a year ago from COVID? I mean, it just seems to me kind of strange because the other teams don't seem to have that issue like we have.
What was spring training this year? Was that like a week and a half? Because, I mean, it was really condensed.
Much shorter, yes.
And I don't know if that's still some lingering effects. And that's I know the White Sox, the team I follow the closest, they've had tons of injuries too. And I don't know if it's because of, again, maybe these guys do need the whole 4 weeks or 5 weeks, whatever spring training is, to get in that baseball shape and before they go full bore in a regular season game, and maybe some guys, because they did not get that time period, their body just was not able to keep up with the day-to-day grind. I'm not sure, because the Twins and the White Sox, both teams have been injury-prone the entire season. It's got to be something, because I haven't seen anything like this.
No, I haven't either. And don't forget, remember, we had the players that were looking for the new contract with the management, and that kind of delayed the start of spring training, if I remember right. And it just, they never had that full spring, and that has to have something to do with it, I agree. And it just seems so ironic that you'd go through, I think, 36 pitchers maybe and 60 players overall for this team this year. And, I mean, they're cutting players, and one person that this is what's disturbing to me. Jarrell Cotton just got signed. The Twins tried to clear him through waivers to send him back to St. Paul, about the fourth time they've tried to do it this year, and he finally got picked up. So I saw him pitch down in Des Moines a few weeks ago. The guy could bring it. And then I went online, I looked, his ERA when he was with the Twins this year was like 2.5 or 2.4, somewhere in the twos. I'm thinking, how are you trying to sneak this guy through waivers when obviously at this point somebody's going to pick him up? And of course they did. And now I see Drew, I think it's Strothman, he just got claimed off waivers too when the Twins tried to get him through waivers off their 40-man roster. So some of these other teams are picking up our players.
Twins fans wanted trades, and the Minnesota Twins did trades, Jonesy. They got, I think, three or four guys. And you look at it, Jorge Lopez, I don't know what happened to him. Yesterday, he had a really tough game. He hasn't been that great. Tyler Molly, he's been hurt, or Malley, I forget how you pronounce it. So he's been out. I think that the Fulmer, they got from Detroit, he's been pretty decent, but the trades that the Twins did to boost up their pitching staff, it hasn't really cashed in.
No, it has not one bit. I mean, then you traded the Taylor Rogers out to San Diego, and you got a pitcher back that got hurt right away, and there's question whether or not he was hurt when they got him. And then you got Pagan as a reliever, and Pagan has really struggled this year too, very up and down. And the Fulmer trade I thought was great. It's worked out well. He's been a great middle reliever, saved a couple of games for us. But yeah, Lopez came in. But how many games have we had to save? That's the big thing since they got Lopez. But since the second half of the season, what are we, 8 or 10 games under 500, I believe? And so you haven't given him a fair shot to start the season with the team. I don't know. I think he's under team control for maybe another year or two, but we'll see how he does next year, and hopefully we can regroup with his squad and make some things happen next spring.
Tom Jones, you're the general manager of the Minnesota Twins. Are you bringing Rocco Baldelli back?
Oh, man. my personal thought is probably not. He's been a good, if you look at his win-loss record, it's pretty decent with the Twins. I think well over 500, but I don't know. It's just when you got Joe Ryan with a no-hitter through seven, and you want to hold him for a game on Sunday, and a game that's basically, I mean, you're an optimist to think it's going to be a meaningful game. I would like to have seen him get that no-hitter and really got the crowd of, you know, the state of Minnesota behind Mr. Ryan. He's a great pitcher. Boy, does he have a curveball. And he's definitely the ace of the future for the Twins. And I don't know, it's going to be an interesting offseason. You read this online a lot, and I don't know how much to believe, Aaron. I know you read as much as I do online. How much analytics is coming into play on all of this? And you look at all these major league box scores in a Sunday paper. Most of the pitchers are only going 4 or 5 innings. But, you know, you look at that game, the second half of the doubleheader Saturday. So you pitch a guy 5, 6 innings. Then you go through 8 or 9 relief pitchers to get to the 15th inning, including a guy that had been called up that morning from St. Paul. And you didn't leave anything for the next day, the Sunday game. And fortunately, got a little bit more out of the starting pitching on Sunday. But you're wearing your bullpen awfully, awfully thin. And one thing, too, I saw online today, and I don't know if it's true or not, but there's not a Twin pitcher that's pitched enough innings to qualify for an ERA title if they actually had an ERA title coming. But that tells you a little bit about how much you're starting pitching. And, of course, we've had Ryan, I would say, and Sonny Gray, probably the only two consistent guys there all season for us. And that's a statistic right there, though, that it kind of raises my eyebrows.
Jonesy, was it Friday night? Because maybe we were talking about this during our broadcast. To me, I don't want to call it the nail in the coffin, but Twins fans don't like that Rocco Baldelli is only pitching guys, like you said, 5 innings, and it could be 65, 70 pitches, and they're done. I think it was Bailey Ober. I think that was Friday night's game. He gave him a 3-0 lead. He was pulled after 5, and they lost the game.
And 70 pitches.
Yeah, 70 pitches. You just kind of magnify that's the problem right there. And I know he was coming off the DL. I get that, but it was a must series. It was a must-win series. You had to take at least 3, if not 4. You got the lead. The guy's pitching sensational. And I think Friday night shows why Twins fans would not be disappointed if Rocco Baldelli is gone, because that's been one of the biggest knocks on him, is not letting starting pitchers go farther than a lot of other teams let their starters go.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a starting pitcher and you're a free agent and there's some money out there for you, are you going to come to the Twins when you know you're only going to pitch 4 or 5 innings?
No.
To me, it just doesn't make any sense. I'm not an analytics guy by any means. I've pitched 2 kids 105 pitches at our juniors in high school in our fall league, and they wanted to go back out after 105 pitches. And I said, that's it. No, you can't go out anymore by rules for your age level. It shake your head a little bit. And I just think the analytics are way too much in play. And I'm happy to see they're making some changes. And, you know, Aaron, when I went up to get my equipment for the fall ball, I got out of my car in Spring Lake Park, and Patrick Royce was getting out of the car next to me, the Star Tribune longtime reporter. And so I asked him right away, what do you think about the Twins and different things? And he asked me if I had seen that Louis Varland pitch, and I saw it a little bit that night, and he said, well, you could sure tell that he had been through the St. Paul Saints with the shot, or not the shot clock, but the pitch clock and the limits that they've set up in minor leagues this year, because he was very efficient in his approach to the ball game, and I think that's what we're going to see much more of next year, because the minor league games have really been, I think it's 23 minutes less this year on average. I think I read that on Sunday's paper. So that's going to be something I'm really going to look forward to next year, too.
Jonesy, before I let you go, did you watch some of the Vikings game, half the Vikings game, the entire Vikings game? How much of your focus last night was on Monday Night Football?
To be honest, 5 minutes I watched. That was about it. After riding my bike around the lake, I came home and just sat on my deck, and I turned the TV on, saw they were down already, and I just said, at this point, I don't think they're going to come back on the road, and everybody can blame Cousins or whatever, but no, I mean, it's just, you know, that's tough to win on the road in the NFL. The home field advantage is so big, and that's why these teams like to, you know, want to win a couple, two or three games, so they can get that home field advantage through the playoffs. That's so huge in the NFL, and they'll come back next week. It's the same 48, 49 players, whatever they have on a roster, and they'll come back. I mean, same coaching staff, just like when the Twins would lose four or five games and they'd win five or six. Same guys, same players, same coaches. So it happens. It's what the beauty of sports is.
Tom Jones on a Tom Jones Tuesday here on Kate Radio. Jonesy, you cruising over to Kansas on Friday?
I am. Planning on it, absolutely.
Well, I will see you there.
Okay, we have home volleyball Thursday night. We'll look forward to seeing a lot of people out for that, too. So everybody have a great week. Thanks, Aaron.